Straight is the road we're called to travel, many the trials along the way.
There's a brighter day,
brighter day on the other side. Trouble is always there before us, trusting in Jesus we can say,
there's a brighter day,
brighter day on the other side.
There's a brighter day,
brighter day coming over on the other side.
Rejoice with the
saints in a heavenly land we'll ever abide.
So happy we'll be,
no more pain, no sorrow, saints we'll say goodbye.
There's a brighter day
waiting for me on the other side. Riding with Jesus through the battle, standing on his amazing grace.
There's a brighter day,
brighter day on the other side. Trusting the one who died to save us, soon we shall see his blessed face.
There's a brighter day,
brighter day on the other side.
There's a brighter day,
brighter day coming over on the other side.
Rejoicing with the
saints in a heavenly land we'll ever abide.
So happy we'll be,
no more pain, no sorrow, saints we'll say goodbye.
There's a brighter day
waiting for me on the other side.
There's a brighter day,
brighter day coming over on the other side.
Rejoice with the
saints in a heavenly land we'll ever abide.
So happy we'll be,
no more pain, no sorrow, saints we'll say goodbye.
There's a brighter day
waiting for me on the other side. What a happy day is waiting for me on the other side.
On the other side.
And I welcome you to the Word of Life. Again, we are welcoming new listeners. I've talked to several in the last week that have begun listening to the program. I thank you for that. And for you who have listened for some time, I'm always glad that you're here. I want to take just a few moments this morning at the beginning of the program to talk about something that's close to the heart of several of you. There are some of our listeners to the program who have experienced and are experiencing bereavement in their families at the current time. I want to take just a moment to talk to you, and specifically toward the promises that God makes. In the gospel accounts that we have been studying, there are numerous references that Jesus makes to the time when our bodies will give out and our spirit will return home. The Old Testament in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 defines death for us. Death is not just when the heart stops beating or the lungs stop breathing. Death is when the spirit returns to God who gave it. Now, I cannot witness the spirit returning, and you cannot witness that either. We see the physical aspects of a spiritual event as what we do. When the spirit is gone from the body is left without that connection to life. And you and I know that what happens then is what we call decay. And we understand that this is what's appointed to us. Unless the Lord Jesus returns before the end of our life would occur, and what we have is a promise that we will all experience death. Now, that is the exception, of course, as we said, if Jesus returns before. Many of us witness the death of those we love. And I don't mean we're there in the room or anything like that. I just mean that we experience the process of death and dying. We have in our society today groups of people who help to deal with that. Now, there are several groups. One great umbrella term that would describe that would be the work of hospice volunteers and hospice professionals. You're well aware of the service. I don't need to detail and explain how that works. But do you realize that God has placed another group that will help with the dealing with death and dealing with the going before of some that we love? Now, that group is the church. Do you understand that? In the church, there is the awareness of the promises of God. And the awareness of the promises of God really is the seat of all that comfort that is available. It's not within the power of the church to deal with death, but the church is made up of people who serve the God who has a Son who is the Prince of Life. You see, death is not the barrier to Jesus that it is to you and I. This is reflected, as we said, several times in the Gospels. One of the most beautiful statements of this is found nearer the time that Jesus himself would pass from this life. In fact, we've studied it here recently within the last few months. That is the statement Jesus made the night before his crucifixion and death in John 14. That passage in John 14 goes three verses. Now, there is a statement in the fourth verse that dovetails with it very well, but for the purposes of our discussion, I want to read these first three verses. In John 14, we read Jesus speaking, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, with those words, what Jesus did was put us in a position of making a choice. You and I have the choice of whether to believe what Jesus said or not. I'd ask you first to consider the credentials of Jesus. We have studied this throughout the Gospel accounts, this series on Glimpses of Christ. We have talked about the truth that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is, as John chapter 8 emphasizes several times, the I Am. This is God in flesh. Time and again throughout the Gospels, Jesus makes the claim to divinity. Does he prove it with what he did? You have to be the judge of that. If Jesus meets with the claims that he makes, being the Son of God, the God in flesh, then you and I have a reason to listen to the words that he speaks. Who else would know death and overcoming death except the one who himself overcomes death? You see, Jesus faced the death on the cross with the same things that you and I face death here, whether it is our death or whether it is the death of someone that we love. Let's understand that what Jesus did is described by Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 through 25, and this phrase that's taken from there, that he kept entrusting himself, that is, Jesus kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. You see, in the middle of the cross, in the middle of everything that happened, the point about Jesus and death is that Jesus stood in the same position to death that you and I stand in. As Jesus never used miraculous powers during his lifetime to make his road easier, he did not use his own power to overcome the death that he died. He trusted his Father. You and I are put in the same position in regards to Jesus. As we look around us and see the cemeteries that dot the landscape of the county that we live in, the state that we live in, the nation that we live in, we see a common factor, that when a person dies, they do not automatically come back to life. And we have people talking about those who have been brought back and things like this, and I understand the position that people are taking. The heart has stopped, the lungs have stopped, and the heart has started again, the lungs are started again. But if you go by the biblical definition of death that's given in Ezekiel or Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the return of the Spirit to God who gave it, you see, those persons have not met all the qualifications of what makes death to be death. Now, I want you to understand something very clearly. This demands that you listen to what the Scripture says as opposed to what you see. As there are great illusions that occur in our world today, Satan uses the illusion of death being the final defeat to defeat us. Now, if you and I put this in the right context of understanding, we'll see that John 14, 1 through 3 tells us that death is not the final chapter of this story. You see, the story of our life really does begin when God grants life to the womb. You and I understand that when a child is conceived, the child is neither the father nor the mother. It is of the father and of the mother together. This is the point of life, isn't it? A life begins with that conception. After birth, that life continues. we grow, we mature. Some of us mature. Some of us just get older. We mature, we grow, and we come to that point to where life does not have such a great hold on us. That is, our bodies begin to weaken, our steps become slower, our strength wanes. All of these things happen, and we have to choose who we are going to believe about what is going on in our life. Should I believe Jesus with the words that he spoke, that death is not the final chapter? Or should I believe what Satan wants me to look at, that the carnage and death around us is all that there is, and there is nothing else beside that? What do we do with this? You have been challenged several times during this series on the glimpses of Christ to place faith in Christ. I do not ask you to place faith in Christ because I have faith in Christ. If you remember, you are asked continually to look at the evidence, to listen to the eyewitness accounts, to see what jives with reality, what fits the picture. There is an understanding of God that grants sense to life, and by the way, grants sense to death. To those of you who are in the middle of bereavement or have been bereaved, or if you fall into the larger group, those who will be bereaved, let me encourage you to realize that as Jesus spoke these words that night before his crucifixion, here was the one who was going to die comforting those who were going to live. I can't help but think of the words that the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where he began to talk about the trumpet of God sounding, the dead in Christ rising, and those who remain alive at that time being changed and united with those who have died before. And at the end of that chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul makes a statement. He says, "Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Could I encourage you to realize that the whole point of Scripture and what the message of God is that in the midst of everything that Satan throws our way, the flaming arrows of Satan, as they're called in the Scripture, in the midst of the doubt that he tempts you to get into and be ruled by, in the midst of all the things that people would say to denigrate God and to take away from all the things that God has told us, and as Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, those who mock the very statements of God. In the midst of all of that, our God calls us, based upon the evidence, to realize and to understand that there is indeed another chapter to the book. This is not the end when death takes place. The choices made in life are honored in death. I understand that. Not everybody that's resurrected is resurrected to the life that they want. But if you are concerned about that resurrection, let me point out to you that Jesus doesn't leave us without a statement. We have at several times during this series referenced the Great Commission is given in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, and Mark 16, 15 and 16. Between those two commissions, we see the authority of Jesus stated, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth," in Matthew 28, 18. The need to go, in Matthew 28, 19 and Mark 16, 15, go into all the world. We understand the need of taking the message of Christ to all. If you have heard that message and made that decision to believe that Jesus is indeed the Son of God, the Holy One who came, the Holy One who inhabits those who choose Him today, then the rest of what Matthew 28 and Mark 16 is where you need to be. Jesus would say in Mark 16, "The one that believes and is baptized shall be saved. The one that does not believe is condemned." In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, it is, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You see, that kind of decision makes death to be only the opening of the door to another life. If you reject Christ, then God will honor that decision you make. He will let you make that decision. He will allow you to live the decision that you make. God will not come down and force you to change your mind. But at the end of life, you'll be alone. Actually, you'll be with the vast majority of people in the world. It's what Jesus said, that many go down the road to destruction and few find the road to life, in Matthew 7. You will be with the majority, but that is not anything but being alone. In a few moments, we'll continue right now a song.
The Spirit showed to John a wondrous vision. From heaven's highest realm, a holy city did descend, with its crystal river gates of pearl and great celestial chambers. John saw it, but could scarcely comprehend. This place of perfect peace that's everlasting, where death is gone forever and where no one will grow old, and the sun is overshadowed by the Lamb in all His glory. What a vision we too shall behold. When the Lamb becomes the light, and the faith that we've held on to becomes sight, there'll be no more weeping, no more sorrow, no more night. Sadness. Yet we hold to the promise that these tears will pass away, and though the world around us now is filled with pain and suffering, we await that bright and glorious day when the Lamb becomes the becomes sight. There'll be no more weeping, no more sorrow, no more night, when the Lamb becomes a light. There'll be no more weeping, no more sorrow, no more night.
Words that we have been talking about have been directed specifically toward some of you who are in the midst of a struggle. I want to address for just a moment another situation that exists among the readers, or the listeners, excuse me, of the Word of Life. And that is that some of you are near the end of your life. In talking to several listeners, there are some who are elderly and some who are not, who are at that point in life when perhaps it's been that the doctor has said that there's really nothing more that they can do. Or perhaps it's that life that has been hard and lived well, but hard work and things, has led to the point of knowing that there's not long in this world remaining for you. Let me remind you that the importance of what we talked about just before the break, that is, of listening to Christ and making the choice that Christ wants you to make, that is, to be of Christ, is very essential for this point in your life. Now, if you have not already made that choice, give the attention to it now that you need to. The reason that this is said on this program is not just because it meets what some would call a felt need. There has been a continual presence in our lives of felt needs from the beginning until the day that we are living right now. That is, there are certain things that we become aware of that perhaps we are more aware at one point in our life than we are at other points that we have a great need for them. The salvation that is offered in Jesus is one of those things that's ignored by many people for a long time. Now, the fact that you are listening to the program today, and that if you've been a listener for a while, you have been listening for a while, or if you're looking and you're seeking, all of this says that you have not failed to take seriously what it is that God has said. Knowing what lies ahead causes me to go to the direction that we're going to take just for a few moments right now. To be quite honest, I didn't plan on spending this entire program today talking about this, but I think perhaps it's a good thing to do. If you have your Bible there, and you better if you're a regular listener of the Word of Life, I want you to open to the book of Revelation to chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, in the last part of the chapter and going into chapter 21, draws a picture of a judgment scene and then draws a picture of a result. Last Lord's Day in the congregation at Gentry on Sunday evening, we talked about cause and effect. That is, we talked about the choices that we make and the outcome of those choices, the general principle of understanding that and thinking that way. I want you to realize that what we have here in Revelation 20 is not the choice being made. Choices made by us of what to do with Jesus in this life. And when we die, that is time for judgment. That's Hebrews 9:27. Remember that? It is appointed to man once to die, and after this comes the judgment. Let's read the text. Revelation chapter 20, beginning at verse 11. I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away. No place was found for them. I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. Books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall no longer be any death, no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. He who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers, immoral persons, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I want you to focus for just a moment on verse 5 of chapter 21. Now, we're going to look at the picture here in just a minute. But there is a statement made there that is the point of challenge for you and I. The one who sits on the throne in verse 5 says at the end of that verse, Write, for these words are faithful and true. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the words that come from the throne are faithful and true? Can you trust what this says? Many more people in the world will answer no than those that will answer yes to that question. But that's not the issue I'm asking you. Do you believe that these words are true? Now, let me point out something here about our understanding of God's Word. The truth of God's Word is not determined by what we believe. You believing something does not make it true. There are people who have believed that the earth is flat, and they believe it sincerely, and they believe it 100%, but it doesn't make it true. There are people who believe that they will never die, but that does not make it true. To say that you believe what this book says does not even make this book true. What makes this book true is that the one who sits on the throne is the one speaking. That's why he can say, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." What are the faithful and true words that we have read? Back in verse 11 of chapter 20, there is a great white throne, and the presence of the one on it is so awesome that all creation flees away from him. Verse 12 is true. The dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne after the resurrection, apparently, the books are opened, and those that stand before the throne are judged by the things that are written in those books. That includes all who have died in verse 13, all according to their deeds being judged. Death and Hades are destroyed. 1 Corinthians 15 says that death is the last enemy that will be defeated. And that's what's happening here. The second death, the lake of fire. That's faithful. That's true. Anyone's name not found written in the book is thrown into that lake of fire. That is the faithful and true word. A lot of people don't believe that. What about you? Do you think God believes it? Do you think that he believes that this is the truth? It would seem so. Do you believe verse 1 of chapter 21? I saw a new heaven and new earth. The first heaven and first earth passed away. No longer any sea. The sea is pictured in the book of Revelation as the separation point around the throne. Nobody can cross that sea. You and I understand that what heaven will be is the presence of God unfettered by our sin, unhindered. Our fellowship with him is extended to the maximum. Verse 2 says, the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Do you believe that God knew what he was talking about? Verse 3, the loud voice from the throne saying the tabernacle of God is among men. Do you believe that? Is it true? He shall dwell among them. They shall be his people. God himself among them. Do you believe it? Verse 4, wiping away every tear, no death, no mourning, no crying, no pain. Those things have passed away. The way of this world has passed away. Why? Well, Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 that the earth and all its works will be burned up at that time of the coming of Jesus. Do you believe that? Verse 6, do you believe he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end? Do you believe that he will grant access to life, that is, life eternal? Do you believe in verse 7 that the overcomer will inherit these things? I will be his God and he my son. The only overcoming we have is in Jesus, isn't it? Isn't it? You know that. Do you believe it? Are these words faithful and true? What about verse 8, that there is a class, a group of people, individuals, who have made the choice to walk away from God? Do you believe that they will find their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, the second death? If you have chosen to accept what the end of verse 5 says, right, for these words are faithful and true, then you have just witnessed the reason that it is important, much more than that, it is essential that you make the right choice in this life. Read the book of Acts. See what people did. Acts chapter 2 is a prime picture of those who killed Jesus coming to the salvation that Jesus died to provide. What will you do with that? Have you done that? Today on the Word of Life, we have departed from our regular studies to talk about that. We'll join back into the account of the trial with Pilate next Lord's Day, Lord willing. You join us then, and God bless you through the week.